Hello, everyone, and welcome. Good morning. It's our live feed update for July 11th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by two amazing guests. It's Alex Kidwell. How you doing, Alex?
Hi.
And John Krause from Team Robot.
That's right. Good morning, everybody. And I want to say to Alex, hello, you've been my white whale on the RHAP network for a really long time. This is our first time officially together.
Hooray. Yeah. Made it happen.
Yes, we are here to slay white whales and update you on the state of the live feeds. Everything that happened yesterday on the feeds. And these are a lot of fun. We're here live at 8 a.m. Eastern. Night, bright and early.
Got your coffee?
I don't know if Alex slept, and I don't know how much John slept, but we are here. Hello, guys. So let's get into this. The first thing we should talk about is we do have an update on Christmas. She got back yesterday from her doctor's appointment, and she said that she is going to get surgery on Wednesday, and she will be gone for maybe not quite 24 hours, but she will be gone overnight, and she will return Thursday. How do you guys feel about this?
I think that everyone has some opinions about it, but I mean, in terms of her on a personal level, I think it's good that she's getting surgery. She was telling some of the other people yesterday that the current diagnosis is that she actually has two broken bones, and also she tore a ligament that connects four of her other foot bones. So, like, as a person, it's like it's good that she's getting this surgery, but she's definitely going to be out of the house more than she's been in it over the last, like, 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Like, I tweeted something about how I just didn't love it. And then, you know, like it was actually Andy who came back at me and put me in my place. You know, what am I going to say? Like, oh, well, you won the game. Who am I? You know what I mean? You're wrong. Like, no, I can't say that. But, you know, I mean, he's right. Like, you know, she's not going to miss anything important. But that's not really the issue, I think, for me. For me, it just feels like a little bit of like, just, and I hate being the person to say it, but the slippery slope where it's just like, at what point do we, like, where's the line? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the only rule with Survivor, with Big Brother, with this stuff is like, don't get hurt. Just what you just have to keep yourself in the game. That's like the one thing you have to do. That's your one obligation. And especially with Big Brother, I mean, with Survivor, it's like there's infections and all kinds of things. But with Big Brother, you're just in a house. How hard is it to just not get hurt? I mean, she was roughhousing and horsing around. Like, you shouldn't have been doing that. That was stupid. I'm sorry. Like, at some point, like, it's going to be frustrating if this ends up being something that, like, bears repeated consequences over the course of the season. You know, what comps is she going to have to sit out? And, like, we're going to need clarification on various things. And I'm just like, you know, it's a little bit of something that I think is getting to be more of a nuisance than we thought it would be when it first happened. With all due respect to Christmas, I feel bad for her. It sucks that it would happen to anyone, but I just can't help but wonder again, like, if Megan doesn't leave the house, are we putting this much effort into making sure Christmas isn't just out?
I'll go for it.
I think I'm with Andy on this one. I feel like, and I said this on the round, like, why take her out of the house? If all she needs to do is leave for a short period of time, come back, and then she'll still be on crutches, but she can still play the game of Big Brother does not require physicality. That's part of what makes Big Brother great. And it's part of what differentiates Big Brother from Survivor. I mean, I agree. If you're on Survivor, obviously you can't go and get surgery and come back, because the conditions of Survivor are part of the game. But Big Brother is meant to be like just mentally taxing. And it's not like going to get surgery is going to be like a nice break from the game. You know what I mean? Like, it's not exactly she's going on vacation. She's not going to meet a juror on a beach or anything like that. I don't know.
Okay, I mean, maybe the person who changes the catheters watches tons of live feeds and has a lot of info.
Well, there's always the risk of that, right? Like, I think the reason that it sort of bothers us in the back of our brains is the idea that it breaks the integrity of this seal of silence over the house. But, I mean, if we really look at it, how much integrity is there already? Like, I was saying to you last night on Twitter, Alex, like, in BB Can 4, we've had people that were voted out and then got to watch live feeds for a week. Like, that's pretty crazy. We've had plenty of buybacks where people leave. We've had times times where people, you know, in jury house, like they go into whatever town is nearest the jury house and they might hear something. Like, even though we like to think that there's this sort of integrity of silence between like the time you get in the house until the end, there really, really isn't. And speaking to what Taryn said too, like it's so much more than just the physical game. It's the social game. Like, if Christmas is out of the house for 4 days or whatever, like that might influence people's ability to trust her. She might not hear about like the way that alliances are shifting or not. So it doesn't feel right either. Like, I get the feeling, but I mean, if no one's voting her out and people want to still work with her and she's not actually dying, I don't see much of a problem with it. Like, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to make every nurse sign like a non-disclosure agreement? It's her, yeah. I mean, her foot's broken.
Who wouldn't want
to
work with her, though? I mean, let's be honest. Like, what a dream. Like, you know, if she wants to work with you, you should take her to the end.
Like, I mean, she's Missy, right? Like, Missy broke her foot on Survivor, and like she ended up getting to the final three for that reason. So
yeah.
I mean, it's not like the surgeons are going to be whispering Big Brother secrets in her ear as she's under, you know. And as Jill points out in the chat, they've left the house for entertainment. Like
a June Frankie Grande concert or Ariana Grande concert.
Yeah. You act like I'm condoning those things. I mean, first of all, let's you know, stop right there.
Okay, well, continuing on our update, to no one's surprise, Cody is still leaving the house on Thursday. There's really no hope. He had a conversation with Jessica where he was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not fighting. Like, if there was a fight to be fought, I'd fight it, but there's nothing. There's nothing I can do here. And I tend to agree. I don't think there's really much of a chance here for Cody.
For the buyback.
Probably not.
Yeah, the buyback is the one thing.
And I think he's already counting on that. He's already been talking about how he's gonna win all the buyback competitions. And I mean, I think he's got pretty good odds at this point. Like, if we're looking at who he's up against so far.
Hashtag bring Cameron back.
I'd like to see that. Like, what would he even do? Like, you know, I mean, he's missed out on so much at this point.
Remember his name. They're like, there's been, you know, three evictions.
Yeah, well, he's not on the wall, so
he's not even on. They don't even know what he looks like.
Yeah,
they could just insert any random person, like Justin from BBOTT could come in, and he could be like, "Hey, baby, I'm Cameron," and they'd be like,
"Yeah, put glasses on.
Maybe you are Cameron."
In there.
I don't remember.
Oh man, he'd be like the Allison White of Big Brother 19. Like, he's basically the new guy. Like, hey, this is I'm Cameron.
Right, yeah. Hashtag I'm Cameron.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to see Cameron back. But anyway, this big alliance there, I mean, basically everyone in the house is now talking, okay, now that we've locked down this week, who are we going to evict next week? It looks like the options are Ramsey and Jess. Right, Alex?
I mean, it seems that way. It seems like even the people that shouldn't be thinking that way, like, you know, you would think, like, you know, Alex should, you know, if she were to win power, like, you know, based on everything she had been saying, like, she should go like Mark and Elena, you know what I mean, or like Matt and Raven even. Like, it seems like that was like the game plan there, but it seems like now it's like everyone has been pulled back into like Paul's sphere of influence this week because everything has gone so smoothly. And so at least for like the short term, yeah, it seems like everyone's going to be down to like settle on a group target unless things change. I mean, which, you know, they could. It depends on who's, you know, if somebody interesting wins HOH and then somebody says something to somebody about which way Kevin voted, or, you know, there's certain other bits of information that could come out that could change some things. So it's not like a done deal for next week already. That would be a really depressing thought given that we have to cover this every day. But, you know, it's pretty well penciled in. I mean, Paul's done a good job of setting up a very obvious plan and sticking to it. And Cody's like, you know, joke's on him. He didn't fool me. Like, I always knew he was going to backdoor me. It's like, dude, it doesn't matter. You're leaving. So the joke's actually on you.
There's no incentive for anybody to do anything right now. Like, it's Tuesday morning. So there's 2 days before an eviction. And Cody's going, no question. So there's no reason for anybody to try to start. It doesn't benefit anyone's game to try to start anything. Paul's still safe for like another 2 weeks. And then so it's just like, you know, what else are you going to do? Like, Jessica is the obvious target. And then Ramsey is becoming the other obvious target for a lot of really funny reasons that we should talk about in like a few minutes. But like looking forward, like, yeah, like if someone interesting wins an HOH, like what, I mean, I don't know, like what if Jason wins an HOH or if Ramses wins an HOH, that could shake things up. And then as we get closer to this date where Paul is not safe anymore. And then also the idea of who knows if maybe Christmas, like what if her surgery, not that it doesn't go well, but like what if it ends up taking longer than they think and then they have to pull somebody out. So like I do think that by this time next week, we could see some really crazy stuff, but I don't think that we're going to get anything really juicy or game changing in the next 48 hours.
Yeah, right. Complications with the surgery. At what point, Taryn? How many days? How many days do we go on with this charade? That's my question.
I think if there are complications with the surgery, if she misses the live show, I feel like at that point,
that's
they're probably going to be like, we'll pull her.
Gotcha.
But you know, yeah. Who knows?
It's just tough. I mean, it's there's no clear answers. That's my point.
Production works in mysterious ways. So, but yeah, the crazy thing about this is that every single person except for Ramses and Jessica seems to be willing to go after Ramsey and Jessica. Jason and Alex are both talking. These are the two people, like Jason in particular. Jason is basically the number three target, and he is on board with like, all right, I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to take out Ramses or Jessica if I win the HOH, which is like, you should not be winning HOH to take out one of those two people. It should not be happening because
it'd
you
be
are
like
basically
if,
next.
It'd be
that.
Like if Donnie had won HOH in Big Brother 16 to take out Brittany Martinez.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like this should not be happening. You should be taking a shot at the other side. But it seems like you're just not willing to do that right now. So, yeah. We could be in for yet another boring week next week, but
I don't really know what Jason's best move is. Like, I kind of think that is his best move to like get more in with them because, like you said, he's kind of like the third person on that list right now, and so it helps to distance himself a little bit. Like, I know that he up until very recently was still friends with Jessica and Cody, and I know that some people have been telling Alex specifically has been telling Jason like you need to distance yourself from Cody and Jessica. So maybe he thinks that like kind of publicly targeting them might help distance himself a little bit. It's like a two-step thing. Like if he distances himself enough and gets in with that group enough, then maybe he can jump up in the rankings a little bit. I don't know how well that'll work, but
yeah,
get in there, Jason, suck those kneecaps.
Yeah. I think the important thing is don't win HOH next week. If all you're going to do is target Ramses and Jessica, I think, granted, he might need the protection because if Ramses or Jessica wins the veto, then I think he probably goes up as a replacement. And if he goes up, he probably goes home. I feel like if he wins HOH and just takes out Ramses, who's somebody who should be on his side, he voted with him. There's no reason for him to take out Ramses at all. Then I feel like, especially the week after that, it's like looking between Jessica and Jason. It's like, Jason just won an HOH. He can't compete now. He took out Ramses for us, but now we're just gonna cut him because he's not part of our actual alliance. So
yeah, I mean, Christmas knows he voted against her. Like, it's not like he, if he wants to work with Christmas and Paul, that's all fine and well, but you know, he's way down on the list of people Christmas wants to work with, and she's kind of got her pick of the litter these days.
Yeah. Jason is trying to get an alliance together. He talked with Paul. He also had a conversation with Alex before this where he sort of solidified this plan, but he talked to Paul about wanting to create an alliance with Paul, Mark, Alex, and himself, with obviously Kevin in there as some sort of add-on. But he likes that four, that group of four with Paul and Mark. He thinks he can make it happen. He broaches the topic with Paul. He's like, I want to start an alliance. And Paul, before he can even suggest it, Paul is like, yeah, I don't really do alliances. I just do like trusts.
Friendships.
Friendships. Yes, exactly. Is this a good move for Jason?
I mean, anything is probably a good move for him at this point. I got not to change the subject too much, but like you got to give Paul some credit because he has been his own biggest opponent so far this season in terms of torpedoing any chance that he has to separate himself from his BB18 performance and separating himself from any opportunity to lay low at all this season. And despite his constant reminders that, hey, he was the losing finalist last year, like he's not only safe for another 2 weeks, but then people still as of now, like they really want to work with him. Like, you know, people in conversations where Paul isn't even in the room, they're just like, oh, I like that guy. I trust him. I want to work with him. And so, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's everyone wants to get in bed with Paul.
Yeah. popular guy.
And two people were in bed with him to start the season. So,
yeah,
it's already a crowded place.
We had another conversation with Josh and Mark. Josh talked about like kind of wanting to work with Mark. Mark doing some good work here. We talked about on the roundtable. He comes off very trustworthy. I think it's the like, you know, Cody has like a blank stare that's just like angry, but Mark has a blank stare that's just like, love me. And people do. They feel like they can trust him. So, I mean, everyone just wants to work with Mark, including Josh now. Jason wants to. Looking good for Mark, I think. Right, Alex?
I mean, yeah, he's kind of like that, like the 2002 Incredible Hulk with the vacant stare. He's just like a big dude, but he's really just kind of, you don't see much of him. And when you do, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, that was kind of underwhelming. So...
I made the Hulk comparison before too. He reminds me of like if the Hulk was trying to write a poem or something like that. Like he's this big kind of dumb guy or whatever. No offense to Mark, but like he's got that face that's just like he wants to love. Like it's like Hulk learns to love or something like that.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, there you go.
John in the chat makes a comparison. Is Mark at all similar to Lane from Big Brother 12? What do you think?
Maybe like a nor'easter version in a little bit of a way. Like I could see that. I mean, they're both very big presences that have like, you know, very soft, gooey interiors.
Right.
You know, that's at least the character that is presented. And I mean, to a degree, that is who these guys are. Like Elaine, you know, he obviously like towards the end of the season, he's seen as kind of a bad guy for what he does, but he feels bad about it. Enzo's the one laughing about it. You know, Lane clearly like feels bad about what happens to Brittany and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there's some degree of a comparison there. But I think, you know, you got to give Lane some credit. I mean, Lane demonstrated a lot of ability in the game to separate emotion from strategy, clearly, because he, I mean, well, remains to be seen. He probably would have gone with Brittany if he could have. And, you know, that's probably not his best move. But, you know, Mark, I think, is really finding himself in a much more of a, you know, subdued position where Lane kind of, you know, controlled Brittany's vote, it seemed like, for a lot of the season. Like, Mark is having his vote controlled by these various women who are pulling him in multiple directions. So I think there's a little bit of a difference there for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know if we're gonna keep going with that that brigade comparison. Then, Lane equals Mark. I can see that, and then by comparison, is either Elena or Dom is Brittany. Clearly, Kevin is the meow meow of the season. Like that's no question. But then, who by that like comparison, who is going to be our Hayden? Like, who is the one that's part of that group that is gonna somehow pull it off in the end and then be remembered as a good winner?
It's Matt by default.
Oh, yeah. There we go. There it is.
Who asked this? Mark is part Howie, part turtle from Entourage. How do you feel about that?
Howie is, I mean, I love Howie, but if you go back and watch BB6 and BB7 clips, like, Howie is the meanest person of all time. Like, he would never be a fan favorite if he were on the show nowadays. And I say that as a Howie fan.
Yeah, I got to think Puyo's just talking like strictly from a face morph perspective.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Like maybe then I could kind of, you know, I could kind of see where he's coming from.
Howie's such a I loved Howie as a child.
The Howie
so
hairline
much.
And chin and like the turtle eyes and nose. maybe I see that. Okay.
Howie wanted to eat April's dog. Like let's not mince words here.
Exactly.
Howie, a fan
so
favorite,
weird.
Wanted to eat another contestant's dog on live TV.
Yeah, not quite as chivalrous as Mark has, you know, demonstrated himself to be thus far.
Yes. Okay. So after Christmas comes back from her doctor's appointment, Jessica finally is actually there for the announcement. Unlike Cody, who still skips it, and everyone's obviously mad at Cody again. But Jessica and Christmas have a conversation finally, where they clear some stuff up. They say, "Oh, it was a misunderstanding. This whole idea that Christmas was going to be coming for Jessica." And you spread information based on a misunderstanding. Now we're all good, right? They're all good, right, John?
I think they're good for now. It's like I said, like this whole Cody thing is a foregone conclusion. And so it makes sense for both of them to try to kind of clear the air because who knows? I don't want to give Jessica too much credit here, but if she doesn't end up going next week, I think that she has some upside to sort of slip through the cracks and become a vote for somebody else and possibly
Aaron
make
grease
it,
that thing.
Yeah. So,
Aaron,
I mean,
grease the wheels.
People have made, I don't want to compare, you know, Jessica to any of the all-time greats, but people have made a lot of comparisons to a lot of the great players where, like, early on in the season, they were not liked by the fans so much and they kind of got screwed over early on, but then they ended up going pretty deep and ended up being kind of strategic or doing well in competition. Someone made the comparison that in BB6, Janelle didn't win a competition until like week 7. And we remember her as like winning all of the competitions. And so I'm not saying that Jessica is the next Janelle, but she did say that that was her favorite player in her preseason bio. So I kind of have some hope for her that she might be able to go somewhere. And it's a good reflection. It bodes well that she's trying to patch up stuff a little bit right now with Christmas.
Yeah, I'm bummed we didn't see it on feeds, really, because it was like cutting intermittently. So we better see like an extended amount of it on the episode is all I can say. But like this idea that Cody walked out on Christmas talking about leaving for surgery, like what must that have been like? Like, I can't take this anymore. It's just the middle of her talking about her injury.
So Christmas walks through the door. She's talking about surgery, and I just don't care. I don't really like her very much.
I just hate people with broken bones. I think they're cowards.
I hope your stupid foot falls off and that, you know.
I don't have any respect for people with brittle bones. I don't have any respect for that.
She was talking about surgery, and all I was hearing was victim noises. So. Yeah,
bones snapping or victim noises.
Yeah. we have this.
I was going to say, go for it. It's not important.
we have somebody named Brent in the chat. Some nobody asking Jessica and Christmas tension worse than Brent and Taryn. What do you think?
I think that Brent and Taryn are going to end up together at some point. They should hook up.
Space exclamation mark exclamation LOL. Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so they had this conversation and they like theoretically cleared the air, but afterward Christmas was still trash talking Jessica was still trash talking Christmas. Yeah. It was one of those things where like they got to the root of their problem, which is this so-called misunderstanding. I don't think Christmas believes it was a misunderstanding, and I don't think Jessica believes that Christmas didn't actually say it. So I think ultimately this is not going to be a relationship that is repaired.
No.
The bulk of the game of Big Brother could be like set to the soundtrack of like Summer Lovin', because it's like all these moments of two people having a resolved moment, and then they separate and they go to their respective groups and they tell different versions of the same story. And it's like every time, like this is the game in a nutshell. And it's just like, oh, what did Christmas say? It's like just so predictable.
Yeah. All right. So finally, let's get to Rand. The story tale of Ramses and Kevin. It's my favorite part to update every single day. Is what's new in the world of Kevin and Ramses? They're still convinced that Ramses took that $25,000. They mentioned it couldn't possibly be Kevin because he was stripping off his clothes. I don't think Kevin even pressed the button. And my first reaction was, I cannot believe that worked, because when I watched on the episode, I was like, that's the most absurd strategy. What does taking off your clothes have to do with not having pressed the button? But these people are buying it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, he's old. He's hot. Right. Of course. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, like I had to really think about this, because I'm just like, there's no connection between these two things. And they can't possibly be that stupid. But I think, honestly, like as much as we, the fans, love Kevin, and I think that they love Kevin in the house, like in the house, he's the old guy. And so I think that on night one, first impression, they're like, oh, he's the old guy. So he pushes the button and immediately starts like taking his clothes off. They're looking at him and they're like, oh, the old man in the corner is struggling to take his clothes off. He must have been struggling for the last like 10 minutes, because how long does it take old people to take their clothes off? Probably a
so
long
hot.
Time. And so, yeah, exactly. He's from Boston. It's like snowing there right now. So like, it worked. Like, honestly, I like it because it's not a coincidence. Like Kevin said in the diary room that was a legitimate strategy of his. And then the people are totally buying it. It's really kind of fun. And then to even seal the deal even more, Kevin had a one-on-one with Ramses last night where he asked Ramses one-on-one, did you take the $25,000? Kevin knows that Ramses didn't, because he's the one who did do it. But like, I think by the end of this season, like whenever Ramses goes home, he's going to walk away thinking that He's going to walk away thinking that he voted for Jillian. He's going to walk away thinking that he took the $25,000. He's going to walk away thinking that he deserved all these curses. He's been cursed with every curse that you can get this season. Like, he's going to walk away being like, I'm a bad person. I did terrible things in that house.
I'm in your head, kid.
Yeah, I got voted out.
It's my world now. Dragging you into the deep water.
At least I have that $25,000, right? I still have that, right? Like, nobody can take that away from me.
Yeah. Oh, and then Ev brings up a good point in the chat, too. But Paul and Kevin have been talking that Kevin is going to vote out Ramses on Thursday. He's going to throw like a hinky vote just to confuse people and to get in Ramses' head more, because they're all angry that Ramses didn't throw the veto hard enough. And so they want to have one vote thrown his way to just like mess him up even more.
And somehow they'll be convinced that it was Ramses who cast that vote.
Yeah, right. Like somehow it'll be like, oh, Ramses voted for himself there. Like,
who voted for Ramses?
It was Ramses.
Ramses did that.
we're gonna do like
Ramses.
We're gonna do like a game retrospective, like with Ramses, and he's gonna be like, yeah. Oh man, that first week I really shouldn't have voted Jillian out. Man, I shouldn't have taken the 25K. I shouldn't have let Paul in the house. He's gonna go to his bank to like deposit the check, and they're gonna be like, "No, this is Kevin's. What right. don't you understand?" And he's just, it's gonna be so ingrained, he's not even gonna understand. He's gonna be like, "No, I have the $25,000."
I gotta say, man, the more I think about it, there's merit to this. Like, I just take off my clothes thing, because like I'm reminded of a time in elementary school where this kid like just came inside and just sat on the men's room floor and did exactly that, and no one took him seriously ever again. So there's method to this madness.
Okay.
It's genius. I think in a few years we're going to be talking about it as one of the greatest moves. Just wait till Kevin's in the final two and he's sitting there during that last night, and then he starts taking his clothes off at the final vote, and then everyone votes for him and they're like, well, we had to vote for him because he was taking his clothes off. Like, it's going to be the greatest strategy of all time.
No, he's going to be sitting in that final two chair, and he's going to be like, somebody's going to be like, what was your best move all season? And he's just going to start taking his clothes off. And it's going to be like a Kaiser Soze moment. They're going to be like, oh my God, no way.
Listen, on night one, I took that 25K. None of you knew it. Ramses is a rat.
It's a lot of pressure. I'm getting hot, sweaty.
All right. That is our update for today. This is a fun one. We will be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern to tell you everything that happened today on the feeds. Make sure you check out But First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary on robinswebsite.com. We will be live tomorrow night. I am filling in for Rob. Alex Willett will join me, as well as Brent Walgamont. That'll be a really fun show. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time.